Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, folks. This is Dave Schmidt. I'm your host here again tonight on the Sedona Connection. Want to welcome you on this 11th day of November in the year 2015. It is basically, it is 6 o'clock on the West Coast. It's 9 o'clock on the East Coast. And it is 7 p.m. here in Sedona because in Arizona, because as I mentioned last week, you know, we do things a little differently when the time zone changes. And but today is 11-11. A lot of different things, a lot of different significance about the 11-11 date. There's a lot of different festivities in different types of organizations going on tonight, and it's also Veterans Day. So always want to say thank you to all of the people who have served in the military. For those of you that don't know, I did that as well. I spent 25 years in the Army National Guard, 4 years of it was active duty. Retired 2007 after 25 years of service, and you know, so that would have been what, 8 years ago. And so I've been retired now from 25 years in the Army National Guard. So I always want to be thankful for the time that I had there. Just a couple of quick announcements. As we know, coming up a week from Saturday, we have our workshop in Baltimore on the 21st. There's still about 15 seats left that I have, and that's going to be the max because that's even going to put me a little over on what is the capacity of what's supposed to be for in the room. And also, as I mentioned on the video, I've had some benefactors step up and are basically saying they so believe in what is happening here, the shift and the change and the energy that's taking place in these workshops, that they want you to be there. And that if you cannot afford it, well, they're willing to pay for it. So there would be no cost to you, so your only cost is going to be your travel expenses. Now, also, I've created a Facebook page, and it will be the Baltimore Workshop, the Sedona Connection. And sometimes maybe the travel expenses are a little high and the expense of a hotel room by yourself. And if you want to, you can go on there and you can put in a request saying, hey, I'm willing to share a hotel room with somebody. Now, that's totally your arrangements. Don't ask me to arrange that for you. That's going to be totally all on your own to make those type of arrangements if you want to share a hotel room with somebody. But sometimes that makes the difference of whether or not somebody can come, because a hotel room can cost $100 a night. And that's a difference of $50 for a lot of people. And for where they are, that's the full cost. So there, 21st of November in Baltimore, December 5th in Seattle. And I've already scheduled for January 9th back here in Sedona, my hometown. I'll be doing some more after that. Now, on the radio program tonight, you know, folks, I really don't anticipate this may not be a long program, because the topic that I want to cover tonight, I did a lot of it on the video, on the newsletter video. So on the newsletter video, a lot of that, you know, I've already covered that there, but I made some comments on the newsletter video. I said, if we had about 1,000 people that are really what I call clear in themselves, very focused, very intent on what they want to bring about, and if we could bring about 1,000 people together to have what I call, it just, you know, in lack of a better term, we'll call a prayer session, a focus session, an intense session, where we can be looking at bringing forth what are called, you know, affirmations, manifestations, decrees, and some sharing, some things like that, that I think we could end up making some shifts and huge changes. Because, see, I'm a firm believer that external events always start internally, because everything is energy. And our thoughts are what create the energy which brings things forward. So I'm going to start something, and I've already shared this with a few friends, and I will be sending a newsletter out announcement about this. On Sunday night, we're going to go ahead and have a teleconference call, and we're going to do that, and I'm going to lead us in what is called a manifestation, affirmation, prayer session, if you want to call it. It's different things for different people, and to do this. I won't abuse your time. We'll only be together for about 15 to 20 minutes is all that we're going to take. And it'll be on 6 o'clock Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time. I will send out an email. It will have a phone number that you can call in. We're going to be using a service called Free Teleconference Call. And I would love to see 300, 400, 500 people come and joining together for us to be able to focus. Because, you know, folks, all of us here we came together primarily, first of all, because we're believing in the shift and change of funds that are going to be available for us. And those of you who have been to the workshops, you know how passionate I am and how much I actually believe in that. Here on the radio program and the newsletters, I've had to be very quiet about it. I can't really talk about it that much because of the fact that I've asked to be begun into what is called a black period. But that doesn't mean we can't pray. We can't ask. We can't focus. I just have to be very careful. I cannot talk about anything whatsoever, any of the details on it, and I'm not. So don't ask me any details about anything that's going on out there. But we can pray, and we can focus, and we can begin to believe for what it is that we want to be happening within our lives. So we're going to do that, and we're going to start. I'm going to do that on the first and the third Sunday nights of each month. So we'll do that twice a month, and this coming Sunday is going to be the third Sunday of the month. Let's see, that daily, 11, let's see, 12, 13, 14, see, that's the 16th. So that's going to be 15th, 16th, whichever day it is. But it'll be this Sunday night. Again, I'll send out a newsletter announcement about that in the next couple of days, having the link, the phone number that you call, and the passcode to get into that and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to do that. With that, that's all the announcements that I have tonight. Blanca, how are you doing here tonight? Glad always to have you back on the air. How are things going there in Atlanta tonight?
Thank you, Dave. We're doing really good, and I'm happy to say we got sunshine 2 days in a row. I told you it had been raining for about 7 days in a row, and it was starting to dampen here. So it's nice to have a beautiful, crisp, sunny day, and very exciting things to talk about on this show.
You know, it was interesting. We actually had snow here in Sedona last week as I was leaving, you know, to head to the workshop in Minneapolis over the weekend. And, you know, where I live here in Sedona, we're at 4,500 feet elevation. Well, a lot of people think that all of Arizona is hot, and it's not. See, Phoenix is at 1,100 feet elevation. I'm at 4,500 feet. And then when you go about 35 miles north of us to Flagstaff, they're at 7,000 feet. And I tell you, Flagstaff gets cold. They get a lot of snow and cold. And Flagstaff had 6 inches of snow, you know, last week. But here we are today. I woke up to absolutely beautiful blue skies today. It did get colder last night. I woke up this morning and it was 29 degrees. And the sun started to come up here in Sedona. But, you know, it still got up to almost 60 degrees here today. That's really nice here. It's very comfortable even, at that weather. But, you guys are in Atlanta. It's nice to know that you're getting some blue skies back in that way.
Yes, it's very, very welcome. Beautiful temperatures, and so we're feeling good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, anything you want to share before we get into the program tonight?
Well, let's see. Well, just to tell people to continue to pay attention to the news and to see that pretty much like the topic that you're talking about, when you're welcoming more light, then things that need to be forgiven, worked with, dealt with, come up. And if one looks at the news, a lot of things are being dealt with that need to be dealt with. So that's how I see it. So pay attention with that in mind. It's happening on our individual lives, things that need to be forgiven and cleared up. And it's also happening in bigger world events.
You know, we forget, you know, we're starting to learn the difference of what really our world is all about. And, you know, we talk about here on this program and other people, you know, that are aware of it, but we live in a world where everything is energy, which means then the energy of our own thoughts is what creates the experiences in the world that we have around us. And we forget that sometimes collectively, when things appear that we don't like, it's really the result of the collectiveness of the people that are bringing it into their place. Otherwise, you see, if it's an external event that happens to us, then we end up becoming victims. And if we are victims, then it means also the fact that God has created a world for us to be victims and that God is allowing us to be victims. So the question is, are we being victims, or the question is, are we creating it ourselves? And it's not so much as an individual. You don't go out and consciously choose to say, I'm going to create this pain in my life. Most of it happens at the very deep, unconscious level that brings it about. And we're starting to understand the power of our human thoughts and how all that brings about in our lives. Now, for most of us, we all know, you know, folks, you almost all started this with me 2 to 2.5 years ago. It was all around the currencies, all about having this shift and change. And it just seems like it just keeps dragging on and on and on. I'm not free to talk about specifics, but I do know there are some external events that are taking place. But here's what I know. To enhance that, to quicken that process, to bring it about sooner, means we create the thoughts within ourselves. There's a very, very good book by Wayne Dyer called The Power of Intention. And when a collective group of people come together with very clear intention, they can clearly shift and change the external events to bring about what they want. Always a result of first going internally. And you have to go into that so that your intention and the energy of your thoughts that comes out of your intention is an energy thought that is what is called clear. It's not necessarily have to be pure, but it doesn't have to go through a filter of density that is in the way, of dark density, of unbelief, of fear, of anxiety, and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't have to come through that filter. When you clear out all those things, then the filter that where it comes from the unconscious, or you could call it the subconscious mind, to the conscious mind, when you clear that filter out, that's what brings the things about that you want. You heard me talk about how, you know, when the law of attraction principles, when people want to manifest things in their lives, the reality is 99% of the time it never happens. But what we end up doing is we try doing it over and over and over and over again, or we quit believing that it's even going to happen because we don't see any results. And we wonder why it happens for some people and others that doesn't. Well, the reality is it happens for the people because at that moment, they're bringing something forward where the energy of that, which comes from deep in the subconscious mind, can come through and it's not being blocked by other dense thoughts or issues that are happening in your life. When you clear out the density, then the manifestations happen. And they will happen more often, more frequently. And all of it is based around the energy. And also, you know, the guest I had on 2 weeks ago, Susan Marie, she's one of those that is absolutely wonderful at bringing what is called a higher quotient of light to within you to help do all that stuff. Okay. And so tonight, I'm sorry, Blanca, go ahead. Did you want to say something?
It seems like, I just wanted to bring it out, especially if people heard your show last week, that's the link with what you were talking about last week about the clearing that needed to happen, that is the part that then helps one be a clearer intention, right? Or clearer manifest.
Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Right, so it goes hand in hand, like two sides of one coin. The more one does one's work, the clearer channel one is with intention. And I would say that then there won't be those doubts and fears and anxieties to kind of cloud the signal.
Yeah. See, what you just said, doubts, fears, anxieties, are all forms of what we would call unbelief. And right. It is the unbelief that clouds the intention or the belief of what we want to come forward. And all that stuff predominantly happens in the subconscious mind. It's not in the conscious mind. Now, you can program the subconscious mind by different means and different ways to do that. But what happens in the conscious mind is usually only an extension of what first is taking place in the subconscious mind. In fact, psychology is starting to say that as much as 98% of everything you do, say, thoughts, experience, comes from the subconscious mind, not the conscious mind. And
right,
that's why it's so...
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but then you also gave the clue, because some people say, well, how am I in the world am I going to deal with my subconscious mind? You provided the clue that what you've got in front of you or what comes up that you would call challenges or tests or negative experiences, that's actually what's coming up to be dealt with.
Yes.
Okay.
I had a person send me an email today and says, how do I know what it is that is down there in what I call the shadows that I need to deal with?
Right.
The most important thing that you can do is called quiet your mind. And that meditation is a form of that. Get rid of all the daily chatter that's going on in your mind. Go quiet and begin to not just listen, but to also feel. Go within deep in your thoughts and then begin to feel what is coming up and ask for there to be guidance from the Holy Spirit, from your guides, your angels, or whatever you ask them to say, show me, please, what it is that wants to be released. Where is their density? Where is their shadows within me that want to come out and be released? You know, the shadow issues that we all have within our lives, I picture them as something that they're down inside of there, and they're basically kind of trying to get our attention, but we don't know how to listen. But, and what they're saying is, hey, I want to get your attention because I want to come up to the surface and I want to get out of you. I don't like being in you. That is not the natural position and place for you to be. I want to be released. So if I have an issue of fear and something is fearful for me, I have a process that I work through that works very, very well for me. Now, I'll probably talk more about that next week. I don't want to go into that very much in detail this week. I do want to talk about the fact, though, that of all the things that we want, the things that we want these funds to come through, the reason more than anything else that they don't is because of the collective unbelief in all of it.
Right.
And the unbelief happens, and it has 100 different faces of what unbelief can be. Fear, anxiety, doubt, worry. The most important thing you can do is to let go of all of your attachments, your energetic and emotional attachments to the outcome. I want this and I want it now. And you're attached to that thought. I need this and I need it now. And you're attached to that thought. Or I want this money to help someone else. And even as nice and as good as that may appear to be a blessing to someone else, you can still be energetically attached to it. And that in itself becomes a form of a block. It's about letting go and releasing all of your energetic and emotional attachments to anything of the outcome. And when that happens, then you've released it and removed those blocks, and it begins to flow out on its own. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you say an incredible amount of things here, and I'm sorry to kind of slow you down a little bit, but really they're deep and key. One of the things you said was to really quiet down, spend some quiet time, and you know how challenging that is for a lot of us. So already you're saying, this is important to me and I mean this. You see, if one is going to be a creator, one has to have a certain discipline. And basically when you said make space for the higher mind or the divine mind by saying, show me, guide me, some people think of angels, some people think of guides, some people think of allies, but that's the opposite of what the ego mind wants. You see, so already
right.
There has to be a discipline and a shift just to even get started.
Go ahead, Blanca. You touched on something, and that's the key to understand that we live in a world of what is called duality, opposite. And so in the world of duality, we all have what is called two minds within us. We have the divine mind and we have the ego mind. The ego mind focuses predominantly on past and future. It's filled with drama thoughts. It's filled with all the anxiety, the fear. The ego mind brings the pain, the confusion, the frustration. It brings the lack of satisfaction. And yes, the ego mind can even temporarily bring things that can make you feel good of having temporary happiness or joy, because it will throw you a bone now and then so that it can still stay in charge and thinking that you're doing okay. But it is the ego mind that is always bringing what is called the duality, both sides, pain, anxiety, joy, happiness. Underneath the divine mind is the sense of stability, the sense of strength, the sense of wholeness, the sense of godliness, the sense of divinity. All of that is a part of the divine mind. And out of that divine mind, there is the true peace, love, joy, and happiness that comes out of that as well. But it's consistent. It's grounded and it's solid. It's not fleeting. And so the issue is, deep down within us is the divine mind. But it's almost like at the top level, we have this chatter thought that goes on all day long and all day long. And to really get, you have to allow that chatter thought to get out of the way. And then you have to go within, and down to that next level are going to be your shadows. They are the shadows of what is taking place in the chatter mind. And it's the shadows that have to be cleared out of the way. They have to be healed. And the shadows are part of the ego mind. And that's what I call the healing of the ego mind. And when you begin to heal that out, you then are released to go to another level down into where the divine mind resides. And when you get in touch with the divine mind, you begin to call on the divine mind, and then the things of the divine mind are able to come up to the surface and manifest themselves into the physical and into the external world that we all see and sense with our five physical senses. And it's not blocked from coming out. If the shadow is not cleared, the divine mind gets blocked. It doesn't get to come into its fulfillment. It doesn't get to come into its fruition. And within the divine mind is what is called true abundance. And abundance is not just about money. Abundance is about the flow of life, where life flows with a sense of ease, with a sense of purpose, with a sense of joy, with a sense of manifestation. And these things happen in your life on a normal basis. Here's what I have begun to experience. People ask me, so, well, what are your goals? Where do you want to be 1 year, 2 years, 5 years from now? You know, I don't do goal setting anymore. Because when I do goal setting, sometimes it's coming from the ego mind, and it's not really what the deepness of my soul wants. I am loving life by letting life flow with a sense of ease, with a sense of purpose. Yeah.
From self-will to divine will.
Yeah, and, you know, it's really interesting. You know, I took about a four-month break in doing the workshops, and when I started to step back into them, all of a sudden, I'm feeling a new sense of direction, things I want to go in, things that I'd like to accomplish, and these thoughts have always been there, but I'm not having to try to make them happen.
Right.
They just show up, and the people begin to show up. And, Blanca, you were one of those. I didn't have to go out and try to find you. You just showed up. And because, you know, Charla was my host, you know, for a long time, and she decided to move on. And I thought, and I was praying, I thought, well, I need to find another host. And boom, you showed up.
You're
happy. And I'm thankful for what you do. And it's, I think, you know, I just want you to know, Charla, Blanca. I'm getting a lot of emails saying that people love you, the balance that you and I bring. It's a good, what I call, you know, male, female, masculine, feminine balance that is there. Your comments are absolutely wonderful. I'm so thankful for you to be here. You showed up.
Thank you so much, people like
Susan Marie showed up. She showed up because she was reflecting things of where I wanted to go in the program. I have another lady, Suzanne, and her partner Candace, that I'll be bringing onto the program in the near future, that do things very similar to what, you know, Susan does. I'm finding that people at my workshops that I need to assist me there, they're just showing up. I'm finding that I've had a lady approach me that says, you need to start looking to go in and doing TV and DVD. I'm having people show up who have professional TV production capability, people who know how to do sound and TV and producing this, and starting to do some DVDs. These people are just showing up. I don't have to go find them. That's when you know that you're operating with what I call the divine flow. Okay,
right,
go ahead.
Because that's the way, it sounds like that's the way abundance is really manifesting for you. You're getting inspiration, which is beautiful, and then you're also getting the resources and necessary systems to actually start realizing some of those inspirations.
You know, it's interesting also, the whole energy and the atmosphere at all the workshops is shifted and changed as well, and the people there are beginning to sense that and to feel that.
Right.
And I mean, I know not everybody who listens to this can come to the workshops, and I understand that, but I'm all ready to start laying out what is called an outline of what I'm going to do is basically a 12 series of DVDs of taking a lot of what is in the workshops and putting it into a DVD format. And then also, the writing of the book is beginning to flow once again. All these things just happen. And it happens because I take the time. See, I have become an absolute firm believer in the power of meditation. I didn't get that. For years and years, I didn't. Because when I'm working on meditation, I'm quieting the mind, I'm quieting the chatter mind, and I'm listening to what is the shadow that I need to release. And you know what? You don't have to go and try to find the shadow. The shadow will find you. It will pop up as a thought. it will pop up as an emotion, as a feeling. Most of it, you will feel that because remember, your emotions are the energy of your thoughts. And you'll know what it is. The key is at that point when you feel it that you don't have resistance to it, that
right.
you're willing to step into it, to fully face it, to fully experience the emotion, let it rise up to the surface, and then pass on by. And that's how you clear and heal all those deep shadow thoughts. But you have to be willing to take a look at it and look at it deeply and
right.
not run from it, not be in denial about it, not saying I don't have anything that I need to work on. And when you clear that shadow, you then have a passageway to get down into the deeper subconscious mind, and I'm saying at the level of the soul that wants to come out and wants you to experience abundance.
Right.
Abundance.
Well, another key. Go ahead.
Abundance is the natural birthright of us as human beings. Abundance is who we are supposed to be in a natural form. And so if it's not happening, it's because we're allowing the ego mind to block it, and we're not working on the shadows that we all have. When you clear out the shadow, when you clear out the density, when you clear out the blocks, abundance begins to flow.
Well, that kind of links to the next thought that you brought up, which I think is key as we're learning to manifest and as we're going to work with you in these prayer sessions on Sunday. You talked about unbelief versus belief, and we can almost say that that's also ego mind and divine mind. The divine mind, I think, is even beyond belief into knowing.
You know, you can... Some people call it the divine mind. Some people call it the mind of the soul. I'm not here to really, there is a difference between the two. I'm not here to get into a debate and defining the difference of the two. I would say you have the conscious mind, and in the conscious mind, it's predominantly dominated by the ego, but also in the conscious mind, the mind of the soul can come to the up to the surface. And then when you start getting down into the various layers of your subconscious mind, there's a first layer where there can be a sense of direction and purpose. And then you can get down into where your shadows are. But then when you get down past the surface shadows, because there are surface shadows and there's very, 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 very deep shadows. But you're always going to allow yourself to deal with the surface shadow first. Because if you deal with the surface shadows, then the very deep shadows will begin to work themselves up. But when you clear that surface shadow, you are then getting into what I call the mind of the soul. And that's the true identity of who you want to be and what you want to have happen in your life. And then when you are working on all that in the soul begins to get into contact with what I call the true divine mind. And the true divine mind is the mind of God. It's the mind of the divinity. It's the mind of heaven that is within all of us. And that's why we don't have to go seeking for external things to fix our problems. See, it's the conscious mind, the ego mind that says, look for an external answer to this problem in your life. Look for an external answer to fix the pain in your life. Look for an external answer to bring the money into your life if you are in lack. And most of the times, that's why it doesn't work. Because quantum physics shows, and when I say the external mind, it's the out there world, the world that is outside of us. Quantum physics shows there is no out there, out there. The only thing that is out there is what is inside of you. All of life takes place on the inside. What you see externally is only a projection of what is coming from within you internally. So if you are
right.
having problems with another person, or if you see evil that is out there in the world, it's only a projection of the concept of the belief evil that is within you. Because you believe there is evil, so therefore then you will see evil. If you believe there is love, you will see love. Whatever you experience is what you choose to see. But the thing is, we don't always do that choosing with our conscious mind. Quite often, it's with the subconscious mind, and we're not always aware of it. And so the most important thing to do is get in touch with your thoughts. Become aware of your thoughts. And the best way you become aware of your thoughts is your feelings and your emotions.
Right, there is a confusion in a lot of us because that's the way we're programmed and raised and most of society runs, that we think external events are cause where conditions are real. But actually what you're saying is we are cause, and what we see out there is effect. And when you're going to take us through the prayer session, we're going to be in a state of we are cause for effects we wish to see or experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. See, what we do, we get into what is called a habitual flow. And we don't even know that we're creating the external world because we don't understand the power of our thoughts and how our thoughts work. But we interpret and we have a perception that the external world is a world that I cannot control. It's a world I do not have power over. And it's a world that sometimes I become a victim of. But we don't understand it, that the external world is a projection of the thoughts that we have coming from within us. Now, sometimes those are projections of our own individual thoughts, but most often the external events are a projection of the collective thoughts of the area that you're in, the people that you're with, and how you're choosing to observe. The key is perception, how you choose to perceive what goes on around you. When an event takes place, an external event takes place, you can choose to perceive it as a threat, or you can choose to perceive it that I don't have anything to fear because that is not a real event. It's only a projection of thoughts, and I am not going to attach myself to that event. I'm not going to attach myself to that what I call that conflict. So therefore, that conflict will not affect me. If it affects you, it's because you've allowed yourself to let it be real through an attachment to it. So quite often when... Go ahead.
Well, I was saying it's we've got the belief attached to the external. So sometimes it's easier for us to believe that we don't have money. Or it's easier for us to believe that it's taking too long. But how about if we flip that around and we believe that we are truly abundant and that we believe that we are truly cause to what we experience? That would be a flipping belief in a way that would be quite interesting to work with.
You know, you keyed on a term there about flipping your beliefs. And in A Course in Miracles, the definition of that term is the process of forgiveness. Because, see, forgiveness is to choose a change in perception. It's choosing to see it differently. And when you choose to see it differently, that is the energy that you are feeding it, and that is the energy of what will happen. And when you do that, you can let the external world be. You don't deny the external world. If you see a world that is out there and you're noticing a news event and there's wars going on and people are getting killed and bombs are being dropped, you don't deny that. You just don't attach to it. And you just let it be there, and you're just the observer. And that way, then, it doesn't affect you. If you attach to it and see it as real, then it's going to affect you. The same way about money in our everyday lives. I didn't realize for how many years I had what was called a lack consciousness, a consciousness of lack. I didn't even know it. And I would go through all these exercises of reading the books of how to bring manifestations into my life, how to, you know, use the law of attraction, and it just never worked. It just didn't seem to work. When I began to understand the importance of healing the shadows, then, and I made that be the most important part of the daily practices of my life, and I made meditation as a daily practice and discipline in my life where I could go in and do all that work, then the healing happened, and guess what? I didn't have to try to make money flow for me. It just flowed on its own because underneath it, my subconscious mind knows I want that. So that begins to manifest totally on its own. And it seems like we work and work and work and try to make these things happen in our lives. But if you happen to work so hard at it, it's usually because of the fact that there's a block. Clear the blocks, and then the things you truly want will flow on their own.
Very good. I think the notion that you brought up is very, very key, too, about being and trying to get oneself, aiming to get oneself to be observer, that already puts a little bit of space between one and the external events and the illusion, where there's some space so that people will say, I'm not that.
Yeah. The power of the observer happens with the mind when the mind is quiet. It's hard to be an observer if there's a lot of chatter going on in your thoughts. And, you know, there's a slide that I share at the workshops that it says, we as humans average about 60,000 thoughts per day. And the vast majority of them are absolutely useless. They're just a bunch of empty chatter. And you want to know what? Tomorrow, you're going to have about the same 60,000 thoughts. And the day after that, about the same 60,000 thoughts. And those thoughts, the vast majority of them don't do anything for bringing what is called healthy, productive abundance in your life. But if you just take the time to slow the mind down, where you don't have as many thoughts, and that is the art and the practice and the discipline of meditation that does that for you. That is the literally exercising of your mind to where you allow the chatter thoughts to pass on by. They aren't a daily part of your life, and you move into the place of a mind of peacefulness, of a restful mind, a quiet mind. And the restful, quiet mind is the powerful mind. That's the mind that you want to have, to where it begins to produce the things in your life that you want to have. You know, when I, again, this last weekend at the workshop, I get to share with the people, I am doing what I absolutely love to do. I am doing what I absolutely believe I'm very gifted and good at. And when people have that, they don't have to brag about it. It just shows by the results. I don't have to struggle at it. It just flows, and it's making a difference on the impact in the people's lives. And you know, it's interesting, Blanca. I've always said I don't try to promote myself. But I have a newsletter list of just under 10,000 people, and it's all by word of mouth, all by word of mouth. And word of mouth is the absolute best way to know that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, because people are there because they want to be there. People are there because they choose to be there. That means there's something that's productive that's coming out of your life that they're receiving, and it's giving them something that they like to have. And for most of my life, that didn't happen for me. And I can tell you, but I was persistent and I refused to quit. And I just kept at it and kept at it and kept at it until the time in my life that it finally broke open. But it broke open when I truly began to learn how to clear out the shadows so that the abundance part of me could come forward.
Right, preparing a vessel for that to come through. That's, you know, we're pretty full right now, and the quieting down and working with the shadows, I think, is quite important, as you say. What do you think about, I mean, because we can get practical here, what do you think about if we're, you know, constantly watching TV, constantly listening to music, constantly doing, I mean, what does that, I mean, to me it seems like that just clouds us even further.
Oh, absolutely. Now, TV in itself is not bad, but what is it that you're watching? What is it doing to you? Is there productivity coming out of your life, or is it just a bunch of empty chatter? There's nothing wrong with enjoying entertainment if it brings happiness to your life. So there may be a TV show that you just absolutely love to watch, and that's okay. And you realize it's just entertainment. It's not real, but entertainment has a value. Entertainment makes you feel good. Entertainment brings happiness and joy to your life. The question is it doing that? Or is it just noise that's going on out there that isn't doing anything for you? Music, what does the music do for you? I listen to music all the time. I usually always have earphones in. Quite often when I'm in my car, I went out for a one-hour hike today. I was listening to Pandora radio for the whole time. But I'm listening to music that is bringing happiness, joy, or peacefulness
right.
to my life.
It's a choice.
I'm not listening to music that's just a bunch of pounding chatter.
Right. So it's really quite intentional that not only do we, for example, like we pay attention to what we eat, hopefully, But we're also paying attention to what we see in terms of the shows that we're watching, what we listen to, because it's all input. It's all vibratory.
I'm lucky if I watch 1 to 2 hours of TV a week. I just don't watch TV at all anymore. I just don't. But you know what? When time is available, what I'll do, I'll sit down and I will, you know, I came from the Seattle area and I'm still a Seattle Seahawks football fan. So I'll sit down and watch a Seahawks football game. But that's entertainment to me and it's a way to relax and I enjoy it. Okay. But do I watch TV shows? Do I watch the news? Not a bit. Not a bit. I used to be addicted to CNBC, you know, about 10 to 15 years ago. I had that TV program on for 8 to 10 hours a day, and I was just glued to it.
Wow.
But I don't anymore. I just thought, what is it doing for me? Not much.
It's an investment, and I think we do ourselves a favor by paying attention to it, and sometimes one can be watching something and think, gosh, you know, I'm feeling really down watching. This is pretty depressing. Why would you want to do that to yourself?
You know, I notice what I'm noticing is I don't even read as many books as I used to because I would rather spend my time going into deep, peaceful, restful meditation, which brings the states of bliss. I'd rather do that. I'd rather do that than doing a lot of reading. Now, I read if it's beneficial for something to learn. But I just don't read as much as I used to because I don't feel a need to. There is this need that I need to want to know more. For me, it's not about knowing more. It's about having a daily discipline and practice to make it happen, make more happen out of my life. That's where my focus is now. And that's something you grow into. It's not something that just automatically happens for you, but it's something that you grow into.
Well, you start listening, I believe, to what your guides or higher self is trying to tell you. It's a still, quiet voice, isn't it? It's not loud.
It is.
But if you start listening and paying attention to it and then heeding it, start to be behaving differently, doing different things, not doing others. I think that's what one finds, don't you?
Absolutely. That's what I call learning how to allow the voice of the soul to be the dominant voice in your life. You know, your feelings and your emotions are the language of the soul. And you learn to master that and you will become the master of your life. You'll be producing a life that you want to have happen instead of what you feel is something outside external dictating what you're going to experience. You are the one who is in charge. Now, you have to want to choose to do that. You have to want to choose to make that happen. But you begin to master those things within your life, and you get in touch with the deep parts of your soul, and you don't. And you watch your thoughts. You watch your words. You know, people get all up, sometimes they get uptight about the words that you say. It's not the words as much as it's the energy that are behind the words. You can go out and say, I bless you, I bless you, I bless you. But if your energy behind that is tense and tight and filled with anger, then you're not blessing. It's the energy that is coming out of the intention that then becomes, out of that becomes the words. Words are only an extension of your intention if you choose to let it be that way.
Right. We're back to vibration and resonance. What role does trust play in all of this?
Huge. And what you begin to trust is you begin to trust yourself. You begin to trust the voice that you hear down inside. You begin to learn how to hear the voice of your soul, and you trust that. If you have a conflict between what I call the conscious thought versus the deep feeling of your gut, that gut feeling is what's coming from your soul, and 90% of the time, that's what's going to be right. But what we do is that we don't know how to trust that. We don't know how to listen to that. I didn't do that for years. I am now to the point where I live most of my life from what I call the intuitive level. I trust, I go within and I trust what I hear. And I act upon that and I do that. And sometimes the acting upon it is not very positive in the external. But I trust that the outcome in the long term will be what it's supposed to be, even though temporarily it may not be something that's very good. And you trust that. You just trust that. And then from there, you get to operate what I call as a life of integrity. Because you're not conflicted by what you want by means of the outcome. You're not conflicted by, I want this in my life. You are at the place of peace, and you say that abundance just flows from me. And I don't have to worry about what the outcome is. It's just going to be an outcome that's going to be okay.
Right. Trust can be very liberating, but one has to pay. And what one pays is letting go of fear. Because
absolutely.
The ego mind will say, well, wait, what are you doing? Where's the proof? And, where's the step-by-step program here? And nobody else is doing this. All those kind of things. But if you trust what your inspiration, or you trust the direction you're getting, or like you say, that gut feel or that sense, and go with it, trusting that you're always with your higher self, or you're always with your creator or God, that's a big jump in trust. You eventually find out that it works out beautifully.
Well, you really touched on something there, Blanca, and that's being able to totally identify and feel the emotions of fear within you. Love is the most powerful energy thought in our world, but fear is the most dominant. And
right.
Fear and love are opposites. They are antithetical. When there is fear, love is not present. When there is love, fear will not be present. And fear is what stops us more than anything else. And it's learning how to identify the energy and the emotions of fear. And then that is, because fear is part of your shadows. It's part of the shadow world that we all have. And you learn to identify that fear. You learn to release that fear. You learn to let it go. And I'll talk about that next week, how you identify the emotion, how you feel the energy, and how to release that out of your life. That'll be a part of next week's program.
Well, very close to trust, and I think this also is going to play a role as we work together in our prayer sessions. Is the link of faith. And I'd be very interested in how you think about faith, if you want to contrast it with trust or link it to, because faith is also an energy.
It is. Faith is a very powerful energy. In the Bible, faith in Hebrews 11:1, faith is defined as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, faith is calling the things that are not as though they already were. Faith is what brings things from the etheric world into the physical world. It is because, and faith is that sense of knowing and that sense of believing and that sense of what you call trusting. It's really interesting in the New Testament Greek, because the word faith and the word believe in the root are the same exact word. And the only thing that's different is one's the verb and the other is the noun.
That's
believe is the verb, faith is the noun. And it's in the process of believing that faith begins to grow within you as the noun to produce the outcome of what you want. See, when something happens within you and if you can feel it inside of you and you want it to come forward, again, you remove the blocks. And when you remove the blocks, then the believing begins to germinate and produce its stuff, and it begins to go that. And then from believing, it moves into the place of faith. And the faith is the sense of knowing. And in that sense of knowing, you keep doing that and doing that. And faith is what will bring what you want from the unseen etheric world, and where it makes the transition and becomes out into the physical world, where it's an actual possession or an acquisition or a result of something that you wanted to have happen in your life. Faith is extremely important.
Very powerful. So as you were saying that, Dave, and part of our conversation is about the internal and about becoming cause or certain effects, it almost seems more beneficial and rich to pray for love, to pray for trust, to pray for faith. You see, so if one has those treasures, then one can definitely be a much better, clearer creator.
Yeah. Most of the people that teach about manifestations and using the law of attraction, most of them will say you only look at the end result. What is the end result of what you want? And then feel that, sense it, know it, and see it, and don't worry about the details of how it gets there. let go right. of the machinations of the details of the step-by-step logistical process of how you think you're going to bring it about. Just feel and see the end result. And then when a block comes up, clear it out of the way. And you'll feel the block. You'll feel it and you'll sense it. You know, it's, that's something I got to get out of the way. So you remove that block so that energy of the intention of the feeling can come forward and move from the internal to the external.
Well, I think it's a very powerful idea there about seeing the result and seeing it and feeling it. See, we know pretty much, at least I can speak for myself because we're all in this together, we know very much what it feels like to be in lack. Or
yes.
to be with like, wow, I could really use this chunk of money to do this project. Or I've been wanting to see these wonderful friends, but, you know, I need the funds to get there, whatever. We know how that feels. Well, how about letting that go and feel what it would feel like being with our friends? What would we be doing and how would we feel? That's a lot more productive use of our energy, I would say.
Absolutely. It's about feeling and seeing what it is you want to have out of that. You see, if you, let's take the money issue. Instead of being worrying about that I don't have it, allow, during your times of meditation, during the times of what you call the manifesting periods, just focus on the end result and focus on it with joy, with happiness, with peace, and feel the energy of the joy and the happiness and peace. Allow yourself to know that you are very good at what you do. If you want the money to pay off your bills, feel what it likes to have all of those bills paid off. If you want money to be able to give it to some family members, then feel the joy of what it's like when they receive it and you get to give it and watch the happiness and the joy. That, because the feeling is key because that's the energy that produces the result.
Well, isn't it, it's enough, and you would know this, I'm sure, in the Bible that he who has more is given, so that if we look at ourselves, feel ourselves, envision ourselves as having the joy of being with our friends or of having the joy of paying off our bills, and how would we feel? Then we would have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a verse for a long time I had trouble understanding where Jesus says, he who has, even more will be given unto him, but he who doesn't have, even what he has will be taken away from him. All of that is the basic principle of the law of attraction. You see,
right.
That verse defines the law of attraction. You attract into your life the things that you want, and if you're not attracting the right stuff, then you end up losing, and you don't acquire the things that you want.
Right. So, again, also kind of the resonance. What are you resonating with? Are you resonating with having the abundance and joy? Well, then that's what comes your way, right? But mm-hmm. are you resonating lack and fear and impatience? Well, that's what one attracts.
Yeah.
So. I've proven that. So we're both talking about stuff that we've actually experienced. I'm sure many of the listeners have as well, but it's nice to kind of have these things discussed. One thing that the whole attachment idea, which was very interesting, you've probably heard of Neville Goddard.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's this one teacher. He's at freeneville.com and talks about some of Goddard's teaching, and he had an intriguing idea about attachment, and he said that what we should let go is of the attachment to the old man. You see, we are attached to the old man of lack or fear or struggle.
Yeah.
You see, so he says, do not be attached to that, but rather embrace the new man, which is what you're saying. Embrace the state of what it is that you are desiring. Of course, if one desires something, that means that one can have it.
Yes. Yeah, the very fact that you can see it and desire it usually is an indication that it's possible. Now, some things are a little steeper than others, you know, but still, it's the fact that the thought can think it usually means that it is achievable. Do we always get there? No, we always don't. But that doesn't mean that at some point in time it will not be achieved.
I've noticed we haven't given out our phone number. We've put a lot of ideas out there. Maybe some of our callers may want to also share some thoughts.
You know, we're almost an hour into the program, and I had actually said, you know, we wouldn't go a long time tonight. And, you know, folks, if you have some questions, if you have some things you want to say, go ahead and call in. The number is 347-850-1424. Again, that number is 347-850-1424. Then you have to press the number 1. And, you know, if we don't get somebody coming in here pretty quick, I'm kind of ready to go ahead and call it a night, you know. So, I don't have to go on for a whole long time, so... Somebody
right.
sent me a text and said that you don't realize that there's a very bad echo in tonight's radio show. Are you hearing a bad echo, Blanca?
Oh, gosh, that's too bad. No, I was hearing you pretty clearly.
I don't hear that. And so hopefully that does not come out in the, in the recording, but I'm not really hearing the echo. But on the other hand, I have to admit, it could be, you know, the microphone settings that I have here and how I can maybe, you know, switch those a little bit if that might change a little bit. But you're not hearing it, but some others are. And sometimes, though, it's also back to your computer or your phone itself. But, yeah. Well, okay, I think, you know, Earl's going to go ahead and call in. We'll have Earl always likes to share a few things with us. So let's go ahead and listen to Earl and see what he has to say. We'll bring him on. Hey, Earl, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm not hearing any echo at all, Dave.
Thank you. You're coming in
loud and clear.
Well, you know, because see, sometimes it's just someone's individual computer or their individual phone, so I don't know. But I just know I got a text for that, and I want to thank the people for that. And, usually if there's an echo, I'm going to hear it in my earphones because I got my earphones on as well.
Well, we're sorry that listener can hear an echo. Hopefully that can be corrected.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to deal with that. So, well, Earl, what's up?
Things are feeling good. I'm feeling good. I'm trying to work on, my meditation and all that. I'm finding that I'm able to remember my dreams more. And I don't know if you've been feeling that since your whole activation where you can remember, like, your nighttime stuff that goes on.
I was already remembering most of my dreams, where I never used to ever remember my dreams, but in the last 2 years I have. But it did take another step up. It was a little bit different. It's like the dreams were more clear. Of what it had done for me since the activation
right.
a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
So I have to come in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really like what you're saying tonight. And, you know, it's all good, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Anything else you want to specifically share with us?
One of my Christian friends, I believe he's starting to wake up. But it's going to be a little rough process trying to bring him, you know, around to the understanding of what is going on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? What are you trying to get him to understand, Earl?
I haven't really talked to him, but he, like, from some of the stuff, like, he's been, like, posting on Facebook, like, there's one where he was talking about how, you know, how mega churches are now the end big thing, and how there's this feeling of disconnect between the head pastor and the church itself, where everything becomes so big that there's this huge disconnect where you can't feel like you're connected. Like, you're connected, but you're not totally connected into the church, where you don't feel like you know, you like your head pastor, like, on a certain level, if you know what I mean.
Where
now they feel like they're far away from you.
Well,
that
see,
sounds like to me, it's just a matter of the individual's perception of what they're choosing to see, because it can be very different for different people. That's an individual perception choice. That's, to me, it sounds like that.
Well, also, it's almost like, another way to look at it, that there may be his soul or something is saying, hey, we might want to plug into something different. It also can be the whole thing of learning that his spiritual development might not necessarily be on an external church or external pastor, that maybe there's a chance for something internal or something different.
Because that's what I've been getting from him for a while, where he's starting to come around to the notion that there are some pastors who aren't doing, like, what they do for, like, spiritual growth, but more like for nefarious, means, like financial and all that. Like, he's really starting to, like, open up to that part, in fact, that there's this stuff that might be going on within the body of the church, if you know what I mean.
Right.
That he's open up to.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing, kind of like Dave was saying, the most important thing is for him to start being still and being honest with himself and say, is my soul trying to tell me that we need to do something a little different, or be open to something different for our continual spiritual evolvement? I mean, don't you kind of feel like that too, Dave?
Oh, yeah. You know, we all are at different places at different times in our lives, and sometimes
mm-hmm.
you'll be in a church, and that church is very, very good for you in your growth. But you may come to a point where it says, it's not doing it for me anymore. And that's not necessarily that the pastor is bad. It's just that it's time for you to shift and change, and there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely
right.
Nothing wrong with that. Though
right.
that person was a gift for a certain season in your life, but that doesn't mean that you have to be obligated to stay with them for your whole life.
Mm. It's like a marriage, you're not obligated, like, sure, you would like to, but, sometimes it just doesn't work that way.
It'd probably behoove him to trust his soul's prompting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway, just wanted to bring that out,
But that's true for all of us. You see, we're all in that particular place day to day, and we have to listen to that prompting and trust and have the faith and love, all the things that we've been talking about. To continue in that step.
Yep. So, yeah.
Oh, I got Susan and Charla following me now on Facebook.
Oh, that's nice. That's good.
Yeah.
Good.
Anyway,
okay.
I'll let you go, Dave, and have
okay,
a good
thanks,
night.
Okay, thanks, Earl.
Thank you, Earl.
Thanks a lot. Okay. Okay, good night.
Bye.
Well, Blanca, is there anything, nobody else is really calling in right now, and sometimes people don't want to, but, we'll get sometimes, 100 people that will listen to the program live, and most of the people listen to this program, archived. But is there anything that you want to share right off? I'm willing to kind of wrap it up tonight. How about you?
Well, I think we had an interesting discussion, and I hope our listeners do too. Is there anything that you would like to share with us, maybe in preparing for our session with you on Sunday?
No, I can't think of anything else right off. I think I've kind of shared with that. I have to admit, this is going to be my first time, leading something like this. So I'm still having to think about how I'm going to, give guidance and direction to it. And it'll be a learning curve for me as well. But, I just think it's something that's time to do. And it's stepping up, taking leadership responsibility to do it.
It should be a very meaningful and interesting step for all of us to try this as a community and multiply us. Our efforts and multiply our love, and it's going to be a wondrous event, I'm sure.
Good. Okay. Well, anything then that you want to share with us? I'm willing to wrap it up. We've been here for over an hour tonight, and we don't have to use the whole 2 hours. So.
I think we're set, yes.
Good. Okay. Well, folks, I want to thank you then for joining us tonight here on the Sedona Connection. Both Blanca and I want to say thank you very much. And we will look forward to see if you'd like to join us on Sunday night, and I'll be sending a newsletter out with that. And if not, we will see you then again next week. Thank you very much. Okay. Bye-bye.